Hey, church, thanks for joining us this morning. You know, this has been a tough call for us to make this week as news about the coronavirus and COVID-9 scare just began to grow in our community. And we love our congregation. We love our church family. And we wanted to take every precaution to keep everyone as safe as possible until we know more about what we're dealing with. Of course, you know as I do that many of our schools in the area have closed, and the Bridgestone Arena and some of the conventions and the other activities that normally make up our bustling city, they've all come to a standstill this week. And instead of risking that anyone here would be put in harm's way, we made the decision after talking to our chairman of deacons and our chairman of trustees. Our staff prayed about it, talked about it, and we decided this would be the best thing to do. So thank you for joining us for a time of Bible study and prayer this morning. We're going to try to do a couple of things. My good friend Gary Morgan, who preaches downstairs in the Fellowship on Broadway, is joining me. And together, we're going to share the fruit of our study as it is now on Thursday afternoon, Sunday morning, as you're hearing this. Just to hear what God is whispering to us about this passage and ways that we hope we can make this clear to our congregation and move forward. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to join us as we read from this incredible passage in John chapter 11. It's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. It's a great text, and I'm going to read portions of it. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Gary to voice a prayer so that God will bless this time together as we study his word.
Sure. Why don't you guys pray with me? Father, we do thank you for your presence in an unusual situation, in difficult circumstances, and an array of struggles and challenges and hurdles in the lives of so many people right now. But Father, we thank you for your presence, for your strength, for hope, for life through your son Jesus. Father, in this unique setting, may we dive into your word together, and may we all grow and walk in your ways for our time together, Father. May you continue to rearrange us, Father, shape our lives in a way that gives you glory and helps us to communicate the story of your son Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So from John chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light's not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to wake him." And the disciples said, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant that he was at rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let's go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Well, let's also go that we might die with him." Well, Gary, what do you see in that passage that really draws your attention?
Man, it's strong, Frank. And as you read, and I know we're going to continue on with the passage, there's so much there. It's been years ago in Bible study, I can remember reading through a passage one time and struggling. And a friend said, why don't we read through it three times? Once to give a glimpse, and twice go a little bit deeper, and three times even a little bit more so. Now, we're not going to do that this morning, but everybody at home can do that. But as I hear you read this passage, it goes back in my mind about who is Christ. Because you have Lazarus, Mary, and Martha interacting with each other, and then you're going to have Jesus right there. When I was growing up, I always had this thought of, really, who is Jesus? And at home, we used to have this painting on our wall, and I don't know who did it, but it was this image of Jesus, and when I thought about Jesus, I thought about him like the image on the wall. Now, the image on the wall was very unique, that Jesus had blonde hair, which he probably didn't have, and he had rosy red cheeks, which he probably didn't have as well. But the more I talk with people, and they would say, my image of Jesus is this. And so from that interaction with other people, I begin to save images of Jesus. And so if I jumped into my computer and we could put them all up on the screen this morning, you would see hundreds of images that people have from Jesus. You could think in one of our neighboring states right now, there's touchdown Jesus. And it's Jesus carrying a football. So that's an image of Jesus. There's also tattooed Jesus in another area, that Jesus is tattooed up so we could say he interacts with culture in this way. I saw have another image where Jesus is arm wrestling with Satan. They don't show the end of that, but it is kind of intriguing there. Jesus with a halo, and then Jesus with a lamb. It's interesting to think of people's perception of who is Jesus. And in this passage right here, Jesus is communicating and getting ready to thoroughly communicate his purpose and his mission. So I think about for us, how do we see Jesus? So as we dig into these next few verses that you're going to read, do we look at him just as a moral teacher? Do we look at him just as an individual with great wisdom, compassion, or a miracle worker? All those are probably true. But is there more to Jesus than just those things? That's the reason I'm excited for everybody to dig into this passage this morning, because it clearly communicates who Jesus is and what he's about. So take us a little bit further, Frank.
Let's go. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And while the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Gary, there it tells us right there, I'm the resurrection and the life. What an incredible identity piece, if you will, for right. Who Jesus is.
Yeah, he's really beginning, or continuing, should I say, to communicate who he is and what it means for us today. Before I came up here this afternoon, I got a call from Frank, 1:30. Hey, can you be here at 2:30 for us to film this? Yeah. To which my daughter said, are you ready? And I said, hopefully. And as I chatted about this passage with her, I began to communicate some different things about Jesus. And I asked her, what do you see? And she said, I see some different things about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Which is why I love this passage so much, the intertwining of God in flesh and bone, Jesus, with humanity. So that's where I'd go right there. So take us a little bit further.
Yeah. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he who opened the eyes of the blind man not also have kept this man from dying?" You know, Gary, every time I read this story, it takes me to a place of some personal pain. You know, I had a brother who died when he was 17 years old. Died in an automobile accident. And I remember hearing about that same time a popular Christian artist singing a song that his angels are always watching over me. And for me, the question was, well, where were the angels watching over my brother? And it's almost that same question. I can feel the pain that Martha and Mary are both asking. May they love their brother. I loved my brother. They did what they thought they could have done. They sent a message to Jesus. "Would you please come? Because the one that you love is ill." And Jesus didn't get there in time. And so they're asking this from a very, very human and understandably painful place. "Jesus, if you'd just been here, you could have done something about this." What else do you see here?
Well, I love as you talk about your brother, you communicate that to not only me, to others that are engaged with us. I love how they communicate their heart, their hurt about their brother to Jesus. For some reason, I don't know if somebody told me this, Frank, or somehow I saw it in Scripture, even though I don't see it there at all, that growing up, I was taught not to share my heartache and my hurt and my pain. Mm-hmm. Almost like having external hardness. And so not to accept how I feel or go to the Father with how I feel. I was chatting with a friend named Scott one time, and he asked me, "Why do you do that?" I said, I'm not really sure. For some reason, it seems like I've got to be strong. I can't be vulnerable. I'm not able to do that. And he went back to a passage in Scripture with me and asked me, how did Jesus, when he was teaching, ask those who were mourning to interact with him? Mm-hmm. And where he took me, I knew what the answer was going to be, but that wasn't me. And he said, well, what did Jesus say? And the Scripture says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And from that really helped me to take some steps as well to say, what does it mean for me to communicate my hurts and pains to the Father, but see them in myself and see who he is and who I am? So I see this in this passage right here. Mm-hmm. And when you share about your brother right there, there's so many unknowns.
Yeah,
I mean, this week we've just gone through a tornado in Nashville. Why did the tornado rip down this street and not this street?
Yeah.
Why was this house demolished and this house left standing? Why were these lives taken and these others not? And so I see that woven through this passage, and I say there are certain things we do know and certain things we don't know, and I hear Jesus continually communicating about those in this passage.
Yeah. Well, let's keep the story going.
All right.
Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a clean cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. You know, you've heard this before. I think everybody who's ever preached has probably said it before. But if Jesus hadn't said, Lazarus, come out, every grave in that cemetery would have emptied.
Right.
Because of the authority of who Jesus Christ is. This is just an amazing, amazing story. Gary, in a moment, I want to get to some takeaways that I saw in this text, but what are some of the other thoughts that you've got as you unpack this passage?
Wow, it is a massive passage, just truths woven throughout it. The thing that sticks out in my mind is Jesus' plan and his mission. It wasn't just something haphazardly. Jesus had this plan not only for himself, but to expand their faith. So I think about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who came back to the dead, for all those who were Christ followers around him, to know in the midst of heartache, hurt, and pain, God was still at work. He was expanding their faith for missions ahead. So I try to think like that. Mm-hmm. There was this foundational sense of preparation for them. It was, in a sense, the series that we're in, Prelude to a Resurrection. Mm-hmm. It's the first step for us in the next few weeks, that this is a prelude to a death, burial, and resurrection. And he's paving the way for strength for them, not only in those times, but when he's gone. Mm-hmm. I think about that in preparation for my own life and things that I've been prepared for and times I haven't been prepared. And when there's a sense of foundation there, that there's ease, that there's peace in that. It's like coming in this afternoon, Frank. When I got the call and you said, see you in 2 hours or an hour and a half, I thought, oh my. And I love how my daughter said it, Dad, you know this story, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her encouragement and just leaning into that. And Jesus is not only communicating the story here, he's living this story with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and others in order to give foundation for the times that are ahead. So I think about it in that way for our lives. So what are the areas that you'd like to take us to just really in great sense of depth then?
Well, I don't know if this is great sense of depth, but, you know, trying to be pastoral. I mean, we've had a tough couple of weeks back-to-back with tornadoes and trying to respond and help folks, and some of us have been digging out ourselves from some rubble. We've also had all of the coronavirus issues. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't stocked up for a couple of weeks with food, then you know everybody's going to encourage you to do that. And we're trying our best to care for our people. Hence, we're doing this today.
Yeah.
But I look at this story, and when I put the series together several months ago, thinking about the prelude to a resurrection, well, as John takes us to the cross and eventually to Christ's resurrection, which we'll celebrate together on Easter Sunday. I see some very skillful images that John records for us. Just like a skilled musician would compose an incredible piece of music on a score, John takes the grave clothes, and John takes a stone rolled across a cave, and John takes grief, and John takes death. And he paints all of those in such an image to remind us that not only do we have our own sense of mortality here, we're going to be wearing grave clothes one day. Yeah. We're going to be buried. It's essential that we do something with the claims of the gospel today while we have this opportunity. But I'll look at maybe four things. And if I could share quickly with our our great congregation and our many friends that might be tuning in and joining us today. There are four things that I want to just touch on. One is, we see this phrase a couple of times in the reading where Jesus expresses a great emotion because of the pain of grief, because of the reality of the fall, and that death now is a part of that. That the beautiful creation, the glory of God that was initially established has been marred by Satan's work, and one of Satan's trophies in his cabinet is death. And we're not sure all the different reasons why Jesus was moved in his spirit, but it's a tougher word than just we see in this text. In our English translations, the Greek says that he was snorting like a horse. I mean, that's how angry he was about this when he realized what, or saw the reality of grief on the hearts and lives of his people. And I think we just need to recognize that. There's also a second image, and it's the value of saying yes. Can you remember some times when the word yes really resonated in your heart? When Johnny said yes, when you asked her to marry, you know, when an employer said yes and they gave you a job, when you had the opportunity perhaps to hear your child say yes, you know, there's something very special about that word yes. Yeah. And a couple of times in this story, we hear Martha and Mary both saying, "Yes, Lord." We see the people rolling the stone away. That's action, saying yes, because Jesus said, roll the stone away. They did. Lazarus comes forth from the grave. I don't know how he did it. When they wrapped you for burial in that day and time, they laid you on a sheet that was twice as long as a bed sheet. They'd bring it back up over your head, tuck it in at your feet, tie you up around your ankles, tie your arms in place, put the facial cloth on. I think I said clean cloth. It's a grave cloth that they would have used. And there was nobody in that grave to help Lazarus. So the image of him hopping out of that tomb says that Lazarus heard Jesus and said yes. So pastorally, to all of our folks today, I think saying yes to Jesus means that as a disciple of Christ, there's some things in my life I've got to say yes to. And that maybe for some of us today, there have been some areas where we've been saying no, or not yet, or maybe if. But Jesus says, man, say yes. And if you've never given your heart to Christ, I think about saying yes to the claims of the gospel, that there is a God who loves us, who has taken care of the sin problem by Jesus dying for us and Jesus raising from the dead, that God says, if you'll believe this, if you'll confess Christ as Lord, you'll be saved. But you have to say yes to that. You can't put it off. And if anything, in this day of uncertainty, the things that we don't know, we do know that God loves us, and saying yes to him is a gift. It's a gift. Third thing I'd say is that the resurrection story is a part of the gospel story. And there's so much there that we'll get into as we get closer to Easter. So I'm not going to belabor that right now, but let me try to think of one other way as I think of this great text today. One other thing that I think is important, and I think it has some pastoral bearing for each one of us. And that is that death does not have the last word. Christ does. Death thought it had the last word when Lazarus was bound and laid in the tomb. Mary and Martha thought that death had the last word. That's why they said to Jesus, if you'd just been here, you wouldn't have died. But death does not have the last word. Christ does. And so I'm reminded that cancer doesn't have the last word. Christ does. I'm reminded that tornadoes don't have the last word. Christ does. That coronavirus doesn't have the last word. Christ does. Addiction doesn't have the last word. Christ does. There's so many disappointments in life, so many hurts, heartbreaks, things that disappoint. But Christ has the last word. And I hope people hear that.
Yeah, Jesus said it this way, he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. Yeah. And I love that he communicated that to Martha. Communicating to her, there is faith in believing, and I'll give you the strength to do that. And then therein he rolls away the stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in just a moment, I want to lead us in a prayer. And the prayer today is a prayer that I wrote as I thought about this text. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to join me as we pray together. I want to say to all of our congregation, thank you for your faithfulness. Some of you have already responded by sending in your offerings early this week. And to you, I want to say thank you. Others have participated by online giving. And, you know, every church is going to be dealing with this. We're taking some time to be careful about our people. And I just want to thank you in advance for the faithfulness that God demonstrates through you week after week after week. And that's going to be expressed not only in things like an offering, but also in your continued service and trying to encourage people during this crisis. In the next few days, we're going to make some decisions about next Sunday. I hope we can join together. I hope that there's a reversal of this experience that we're walking through. But thank you for joining us today and tuning in. Let me close with the words of this prayer. I wrote it out, so I hope that this will be an encouragement to you. Gary, any final words you want to mention before I pray?
I think as you state the word yes, yes to Jesus, a surrender and submission of your life to him. And if you'd like somebody to come alongside you during this time, and that's necessary. None of us just flying solo on that. Please connect up with us. That's one. Two is yes to each other. In this passage, there was Mary, there was Martha, and there were people around them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the time that we're in, with the tornadoes in our area, with struggle, heartache, and pain, and virus, come alongside people in a variety of ways, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text, whether it's through social media, whether you're gathered in smaller groups and do it in a continual basis. Mm-hmm. Don't allow yourself to be isolated. Take steps out of that. One individual once said, an isolated follower of Christ is a defeated follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. So let's engage in the ways that we can, the ways that are available with other people that are around us.
That's rich. Thanks. Well, let me pray for us, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and watch over you in these days ahead. Lord God, sometimes it feels like I'm living in Bethany. People I love are dying, maybe not physically, but they're hurting, Lord. I asked you to come so that those you love might not die, but you didn't come, at least not on my timetable. And now there's a test of faith. There's a test for me, and there's a test for everyone in our church and in our community. It's like the test you gave Martha and the test you gave Mary. You're asking us if we believe in the resurrection. That means, do we believe that you can take what's broken and fix it? Do we believe that you can take what's crooked and straighten it? Do we believe that you can take that which no longer has the resemblance of life and let it breathe again? But God, maybe it's even deeper than that. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the dead one. And God, do I dare hear your voice clear and distinct from the voices of death and decay calling me to come forth? And God, will I have the courage to be like Lazarus and say yes? Oh God, who wouldn't want to do that? So thank you for your incredible love. And thank you for your life. And thank you for fresh starts. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. I hope to see you Sunday.